This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
Man, this would stink. From the Olympics. Olympics news. I guess I didn't start it very well when I started with, I guess this would stink.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to Olympics.
You know, it's probably not going to be an inspirational Olympic story, but this actually happened. The guy was kayaking in the Olympics, getting ready, and he hit a sofa.
He hit a sofa. There's a sofa in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is one of those things where they're talking about, hey, you guys need to clean up a little bit. It was actually...
We didn't think we had to tell you to get the stray sofas out of the water before you start kayaking.
That should have been, to me, now I don't know everything about the Olympics, but I would have been, if I'm on the International Olympic Committee, I would have been like, okay, we want you guys to get all the sofas out of the water to make way for the kayak guys.
Maybe they did, and some workers at home like, oh.
I missed one. But that's too bad. See you guys. See what happens when you don't clean up. Big announcement, and I will preface this announcement with the following. You may not care.
Okay.
So brace yourself.
It kind of works against the whole fanfare here, but
it kind of does, doesn't
it? Mm-hmm, but it's okay.
But it builds some tension in that you have to wonder, will I care or will I not? Because some will.
Okay.
Some won't.
What's the announcement?
Which one will you be? The announcement is this, and again, you may not care about this, but I'm writing another book, and I haven't talked about this on the air, but the publisher agreed, hey, we want another book.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. And
yes,
I want to thank the people who bought the first one called Unoffendable, but it went so well. And it continues to do pretty well.
Good.
That they wanted another one. And this one I'm really excited about. Okay, so this is why I think this might interest you, because this may be about you, is I'm writing a book about being a spiritual misfit. Like if you're somebody who doesn't feel very spiritual, you might even compare yourself to other people, or you read books, you see people having a worship experience or something, just like, I'm not feeling what they're feeling. This book is about that.
A lot of people.
I think so.
I think so, too.
But we don't talk about it that much. And as I've kind of talked to people about this, and I'll be asking questions on Facebook and stuff to get people's input to work into the book, because this might be you, too, where you just feel like, wait a second, am I not connecting to God because I'm not hearing from him like other people say they are? I'm not having the same feelings like other people say they're having. I don't understand the emotional component. Like, am I just not spiritual? Has God just kind of abandoned me? Did I just blow it? I don't think it's true. So this book is going to be good news for spiritual misfits. I don't know what the title of it's going to be, but that's going to be in there somewhere.
Good news for spiritual misfits.
Yeah, because I don't think that's the way God sees us, based on our emotions. And anyway, that's the idea. And again, you may not care, but
I care. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you. See, Sherry cares, and she thinks, and I'm quoting you, that it's wonderful. We were just talking about being a spiritual misfit. I have felt this way, and I was just writing this for the next book that I'm writing. But what actually happened to me, I was in college, and I just noticed that everybody else was more excited about their faith. The people I knew who were Christians, way more excited than me.
Excited as in telling people about their faith or just emotion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both. Well, it turns out the guys I knew and look up to in my house, I was a freshman in college. It turns out, looking back, they're extroverts.
Okay.
But they were all about, let's do this. They're plugged into these campus ministries. And it was like, we're going to do this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, I don't know how to relate to this. And I was desperate. And I'm just leveling with you here. I hope this story isn't disturbing to anybody. But there was another guy in my house that was all extremely emotive about his faith. And he's like, Brant, you need to come and join this group that I'm in. And I'm like, okay. He's like, this will help you, you know, capture, you know, what you need to in your faith. You really need to open yourself up.
Because he thought you were lacking because you didn't have the same emotive response.
Yeah, totally. Okay. He was very emotional. And so I went to this Bible study thing, and it was in a basement. And it was cool for a while. And then they gathered around me to pray over me. And they prayed, you know, God, you know, reach Brant. He's closed-minded. You need to open his mind. He leads, you know, he's leaning too much on his own understanding. and they started praying in tongues, which is something that some people do, which is, you know, that's right. their thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'd also pray in English in my ear, mm-hmm. like, God, open him up, you know, bind Satan from him. He's mm-hmm. clearly under the, like, and I wanted to start doing what they were doing, and I couldn't.
Right.
They were clearly waiting for me to do something spiritual, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do it. And they were disappointed, and I was disappointed, and it wrapped up, and it was like, well, you're just too much in your own head, brother, and, you know, you're lost. And
oh, wow.
I walked out of there going, I guess I am. And that's why I think I feel for people who are in that situation. Like, the truth is, that's not how God operates. And it's not that you're just lost if you're not relating to God like these other people are. And I don't need to judge what they're doing with God, but I do know this, there's an awful lot of us that we're just going, I guess maybe I'm not spiritual enough. And the truth in the Bible is that that's not accurate, that it's not the truth. God still loves me. I know this now, but man, that was hard to take. So I just felt like, I guess I've just blown it. I was raised in church culture, so I remember situations where there were repeated conferences, youth things, church services,
retreats
and stuff. And up front at the, or just at church every week, there'd be Kleenex boxes up on the stage, mm-hmm. and people would come forward and they'd be bawling, mm-hmm. and just having this emotional experience. And people would come and gather around them, and they'd be having music going, and people would be having this amazing thing. And it was the same people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew these people, loved them. But I was left going, what's the matter with me?
Because you never felt that.
Never.
Okay.
Never. What is the matter? Am I just not open to God? Yeah, I don't know how you avoid that question if you're in that culture. And like, some people are listening to this going, I have no idea what you're talking about, man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for a lot of people, they're looking around at a worship service and people, you know, get their hands up and they're crying or something. And you're left going, am I just some kind of emotional rock? Or does God not, isn't he not working in my life like he is in these other people? My conviction now, my understanding now is that there's not much in the Bible about emotions. There just isn't. Faithfulness is played out usually dry-eyed, daily, serving people. And it's not necessarily getting caught up in emotional stuff. And I'm not saying it's bad. Just saying I want to free you if you're somebody who feels like, man, something's wrong with me because I'm not feeling this spiritual stuff everybody else is feeling. Like, yeah, the real spirituality I think God is after really isn't about emotions. It's about something a lot deeper and better. Hey, what's going on? My name is Brant. So glad you have joined us, by the way. Producer Sherry is here, too. We're just hanging out, doing a radio show.
No. Okay.
It's a good one.
I'm just going to go ahead and reserve myself to the fact that this is actually going to happen every show.
What?
Go ahead, do it.
What?
We know what you... Just go ahead.
What?
The breaking animal news.
I don't necessarily have a breaking animal story.
We're waiting.
Look at this. I've just been handed...
It's always a shock.
...a story. It's about the Olympic golf scene. Not necessarily about animals.
Okay.
But, well, yeah, I guess
it is.
A breaking animal story.
Go figure.
The whole golf course is being blocked by capybaras. They're gigantic rodents. Mm-hmm. And they're really, I think, cute and cuddly, but they're really big.
Didn't you tell us at one point to go adopt a capybara?
I would like one.
Okay.
I would like one. Look at it. I know you can't see this, but Sherry can.
Yeah, I see it. It's a rat.
Oh, no.
It's a big, fat, disgusting rat.
Okay, fine. Big, fat, disgusting rat. Anyway, they're blocking the Olympic golf course. They're having to get them all off. And these things are as big as, like, big dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're having problems, like, playing through because there's these capybaras
everywhere.
Look
at their faces. They know what they're doing, too. It's intentional.
I think it's pretty awesome. I feel like if you can't golf through that, then you're not, like, a good enough golfer. That should be part of the thing. It makes it like a miniature golf course.
Like a big windmill.
Yeah. Like the stuff moving around. I like this. Anyway, that's your breaking animal news. Mm-hmm. The Olympic golf course is infested with giant rodents. There are people doing this, and I think it has a lot of appeal. It's making a list of 15 things, and that's all you own. They actually live this way.
Man.
You have a carry-on, like a satchel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in there. Your everything.
everything.
I think if I was a single person, I could do this. There's no way you could do this as a parent.
Okay.
There's
right.
Just, that's impossible.
So you're looking at me saying...
Well, I guess you could. Yeah. Okay. No, I was just looking at you because you're the person in here.
I thought you were implying that I should try
that.
But you were implying that I should.
Yeah, these guys
this.
Do it. You get a laptop.
Okay.
And a phone. So that's two of your things. Mm-hmm. Like a MacBook Air is a good idea, so it doesn't weigh very much.
Right.
You get a shirt, couple shirts. Quick
Stop.
Dry. What?
No. A female can't do this.
Why?
Because we like a little more than that typically.
Okay. All right.
So well, forget this whole
this
thing.
This has a lot of appeal to me. And some running shoes, quick dry towel, toiletry kit. That's kind of cheap because that's more than one thing. But Patagonia running shorts, and you just that's all you got.
Who lives like? How could you live like
There's
that?
Some very successful people that do that.
Who?
This guy. I don't know what his name is.
He's very successful and
this
he's
guy,
doing it.
See? He's got the satchel. And there's a picture of another guy with a satchel. So there's two.
Okay.
And
got it.
And they're doing great. They're out again. They got their picture
I
in
stand
on the
corrected.
Internet. See? So, question with back to school happening, you know, real soon. What do you think kids in high school worry about, but they really shouldn't? I mean, this is stuff like maybe you're just graduated or maybe been out for a while, but what would you say? Like, you don't really need to worry about that so much.
I would say it would be the clothing.
What do you mean?
That would be...
The clothing. Don't worry about it? Don't worry about the clothing?
Yeah, they would worry about, you know, whether they're keeping up with what everybody else is wearing and whether they're going to be teased or, you know, whether it's going to be up to par with the in crowd.
I remember desperately wanting a Coca-Cola shirt. Do you remember those?
Oh, yes.
I cried and cried and cried, and my mom got us something that was similar to it from the Salvation Army. I don't know if it was Mr. Pibb or something
Shasta.
In the middle.
Shasta Cola.
A Shasta shirt. You're going to wear it and you're going to like it.
Now, Rebecca, you would not say the fitting in thing, right?
I feel like that's the cliche answer. Oh, you shouldn't worry about fitting in. But that's really tough to do when you're actually in high school.
Uh-huh.
So I think if someone told me that in high school, and people probably did, I would have been like, that's nice. Talk to me in 2 years. What I would have loved to hear is that you don't actually have to decide what the rest of your life is going to look like when you're in 10th grade. Like, there's so much pressure to be like, this is what I'm going to do, and here's my 10-step plan to do it, including the college I'm getting into and everything I have to do to impress the admissions board. I'm 30 and still don't quite know what I'm going to do when I'm an adult, so I don't know.
Yes, religious people can be judgmental. Perhaps you noticed that. It's true. Church people can be judgmental. Christians can be judgmental. Here's the thing, though. I've heard people saying, they take that Christianity thing too seriously. They're so judgmental. They just get too serious about it. Like, you know what the problem is? It's not that they're too serious about Christianity. That's not why they're judgmental. They're judgmental because they're not taking it seriously enough. The people I know who really take this Jesus thing seriously and what he's done for all of us, and what grace means. I mean, you take that really seriously, you're not going to be judgmental at all. You'd be the opposite of it. So I don't think that's the problem. They're taking it too seriously. The problem is they themselves may have to cut them some slack because they themselves haven't really breathed this in yet. They're still questioning whether God loves them. They're still working that out, trying to prove themselves to God. And that makes them easily angered and judgmental towards other people because they don't know where they themselves stand. Just talking about back to school, people get all, you know, worked up. Some people anxious mm-hmm. about it. Some people look forward to it. Your thing, I was just talking with Sherry about this, your thing was the presidential physical fitness test. I remember that vividly as well.
It is humiliating. And I always wanted to know why the president wanted to do this to me.
Because he hates us, I think. And the thing is, it went smoothly from president to president. Uh-huh. Like, okay, so Reagan hates me. But now George Bush hates me. And then it just keeps going from there.
It was awful. And it was always the first thing. I don't know if this was for you, but it was always the first thing that was going to happen in gym when you got to school.
Uh-huh. The president would punish you.
Yes.
Good.
And
sets the tone.
And I was a big kid. So none of it was going to be all right. Like, some kids could do some things well and not, but
how
it was
the elbow
all
hang? I saw the girls could do elbow hang.
Brant, let me tell you something. First of all, having to have the other girls help hurl me up to that bar and then waiting for them to release my legs and knowing that I was going to be shaking violently immediately. So, I don't know, 4 seconds maybe?
Really?
Shaking, chin hitting the bar. It's and everyone's watching like she's not going to make it.
Just utter humiliation.
Thank you,
on our
president.
End, I would always look over at like people like you shaking over there doing elbow hang. Jealous.
Why?
Because we weren't allowed to do the elbow hang.
Oh, you had to do actual pull-ups.
I had to pull up.
Okay.
So I would be dangling there with my glasses on, all steamed up. While Ted Sloan and the other jocks are like, what in the world? This little noodle arm guy with the glasses. How long do we have to watch this?
Yeah, there, that's equal.
School. Back to school, kids. And the thing was, if you finished high enough, you would get a patch.
Yeah.
At the end. At least that's what I heard.
I never.
Because after everybody was humiliated, including our best athletes. I remember at the end, Coach Foster was our PE teacher. Uh-huh. We're like, did anybody? Nope. So this went on for like 3 weeks of humiliation.
And nobody gets anything. It's like, hey,
thanks.
That's how ours was.
Thanks. Yeah. Even the best guy would fall short on the shuttle run or something like by a split second. And they're like, no, you failed too. Like, this is great. Maybe that's what kicked in the whole self-esteem movement.
Was what do you
just
mean?
Because we're all, because I think I caught the end of the let's not let you have any self-esteem.
Right?
And then they swung it too far the other direction.
Right. No, I think so. Because did you remember the mile run? Did you guys have that?
Yes, I remember it vividly.
And I always knew when they said mile run, I'd tell my teachers after gym, I'm not going to be here because Miss Herbeck is not going to let me leave until I finish these 4 laps. It's going to take me 3 periods.
Did you have to run on a cinder track?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that like, why can't we run on the normal ground?
Right.
Because now I just feel like I'm just throwing rocks up behind me and I'm not going to like a treadmill. That's the way it felt. If you're track and field, it felt normal.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, like, of all the, why lava rocks? Because that's
who
what
did
these
this?
Are.
Yeah.
This is pumice. Why am I running on lava to win a patch? Apparently, this is a common experience. I'm not sure if your mom ever did this to you, but I was reading people writing about this. You're at that grocery store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a kid and your mom is in line with you. And then she's like, hey, I'll be right back. And
she has to go grab some
go
eggs
grab
or
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's not showing up and you realize now it's my turn. Our stuff is on the conveyor belt and now they're bagging it up. And where's my mom?
And there are questions, any coupons? Yeah. Did you want this or that? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a kid. What is happening here? It's like a nightmare.
It's stressful. I've been through that quite a bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was glad to read that because I'm like, I totally remember that feeling. Like,
I do
where
too.
Is she? Come back here. I can't handle the adulthood that's going on right now. Boy, it's nice to have options. And one option when it comes to your health care is something called MediShare, which we've been talking about. And we're so thrilled they sponsor our show. But they give you, because you might have a conscience about certain issues, they give you the freedom not to pay for things that go against your conscience. You don't want your money going for X. That should be between you and God and what you do. You have the option here with MediShare, which I think is a beautiful thing, and it's up to you.
And you can sign up anytime, and this is a not-for-profit way to take care of your health care bills. It's a community of believers sharing each other's health expenses.
Maybe, which is a beautiful thing too. Mm-hmm. So people pray for each other and stuff, and it may save you half or more based on what you're doing right now. It's an alternative to health insurance, and it's a beautiful thing. And there's a reason why people are flocking to it. It grew by 60-some% just last year. Amazing. So check it out. You'll probably go, oh, okay, I see why everybody's doing this. BiblicalHealthcare.com, online Biblical Healthcare, or you can just call this number. It's 855-772-5699. Hey, I got a question for you. You may be able to help me with this. Sherry may be able to help me with this too.
Okay.
I don't know when to tell somebody's taking advantage of you.
Mm.
By you, I mean me. It's happened to me. I know it's happened to me many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we've identified before. My wife looks out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry looks out for me at work. But it's happened a couple times in the last 24 hours
mm-hmm.
where I feel like I thought we were friends, but I guess you just want to, because I think maybe being on the radio,
mm-hmm.
people want things from you. Like, that's hey, can true. You promote this? Can you do that? Or can you? And a lot of times I think we're friends.
Right.
And it turns out, no.
They just wanted to use your platform. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not like hurt,
mm-hmm.
But I do realize I don't have antenna for stuff like that. Like some people are real street smart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're house smart.
Yeah. Yes. What is the opposite of the street?
I don't know, but yeah.
No, if it's house smart. I don't know when they're doing it. I don't know how you do that.
I don't know if you can do it. I mean, I unfortunately can be rather cynical. So I think I kind of go to that place immediately that, what do you want? Why do you want it? Tell me what it is. I'll tell you if I can do it or not. So I already kind of think that way. And I like that you don't think that way. And I think what you do is you surround yourself with people who have your best interests at heart, who love you and who look out for you.
I guess that's it. And I'm glad I have it. But it still happens to me.
Yeah.
And I say it doesn't hurt. I guess it does a little bit because I just feel like a chump. And again, this may sound weird coming out of nowhere to you. You're like, well, why are you this way? It's my whole life. I can't tell.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that have that happen.
Yeah, I guess I'm thankful for other people to help me. We are celebrating. Both of us are just ecstatic about the announcement that there's going to be another Narnia movie.
We're pretty excited. I think that's great. I don't know that I was celebrating.
Yeah, they're doing the silver chair, and Sherry is excited, and I'm excited. Rebooting the franchise. Cannot wait for that.
Is this the last installment, or are there other?
No.
Okay, Brand, I don't know, Brand.
Sometimes
I'm
disappointed about what Sherry doesn't know about the real world. Guy across the street got beat up recently. Oh. He was coming home from work, and he has to walk through part of our neighborhood that's particularly difficult. So he was beat up and robbed.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And my wife, I'm so thankful for her. She told him, this is a guy who's a single dad. So he has his kids sometimes. He's a young guy. And he's been in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's doing great for his life. I think he loves his kids and he's doing
the best he can.
Yeah, but he can't get home. Like, look, we'll drive you. Just call us. It was like at 3 a.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my wife told him the other day, hey, I'll pray that you get another job. One with decent hours, one that's in a safe place, one where you can see your kids more. Mm-hmm. And so I was across the street last night because he was sitting on the stoop. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? We talked about sports or something because we're guys. And then
this is the first time
he said,
when you said hanging on the street with the fellas, you were actually
I totally was. He's cool. And he's like, you know what, I just got a new job.
Wow.
It's 7:30 to 3 every day. And he told me where it was. It's Monday through Friday and it's in a safe place. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my wife was praying for you, remember? He's like, I know. He said that's the first thing I thought of was that Miss Carolyn was praying for me.
See?
He said, and I walked in, I said, hey, and I said his name to my mm-hmm. wife, like, and I pointed outside, like, he just got a new job. She's like, what? She gets up from the couch, runs outside and talks to him. He's like, I just was in this. He's like, I guess God was listening to your prayers.
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic.
I know, I thought that was that so is great. It's one of those things where we shouldn't be surprised, but I know God loves him. And I know he loves his kids, and it's just nice when that happens. If you look at yourself, and you're just being totally honest, like take stock, am I a big success or not? Well, think about it. Maybe you are. Maybe you're like, oh, yeah, I'm big time. As a matter of fact.
I've made it.
But maybe you're not. Maybe this wasn't your dream when you were in eighth grade or high school. Maybe it's not such a resounding success. Well, I know we talk about success all the time in this culture. We're just success, 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 including the Christian culture. It's like all about being successful, whatever. But Jesus himself, I think if you would look at the way his ministry wound up, you wouldn't go, now there's a success.
He lost people by the droves.
including his best friends, basically wound up friendless. Maybe one, maybe his mom. And he's being publicly executed and humiliated with nothing left on his back. I don't think most people would say, now there's a success story. Executed by the government, persecuted by the religious leaders, and friendless. And yet, there you go. I think that should, like, if we take Jesus seriously, I think that should invert our idea about what really matters. Hope this is okay. I went ahead and decided I'm an expert on travel. If you're traveling anywhere and you want some expertise, I've gone ahead and decided I know everything.
And not only have you decided that, but graciously you've decided to give tips.
Yes. So I made videos. Mm-hmm. The first one is now up at my Facebook page, Brant Hansen page on Facebook. And it's a tip about how to dress on the airplane. I give some really practical suggestions.
It's enlightening.
It's only like a minute long.
Mm-hmm.
And
some people were making jokes about it. Were you offended by that? Are you just...
I didn't read that. I thought they were being genuine.
No.
Oh. Well.
Some people weren't taking it seriously.
Well, to them, I say, be gone. Because it's a real good tip.
It was a good tip. I thought it was a very good tip.
It could save lives.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah.
So it's about how to dress on an airplane. Anyway, if you're interested, it's a Brant Hansen page. And if you're like, well, who made you an expert? I did. I did, because I was waiting for somebody to make me one, but apparently
they wouldn't
it doesn't
do
happen.
It, so you just
have to decide.
Took the initiative.
Hey, I'm an expert, everybody. So there it is.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brant and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.